I see 20 or 30 girls come in here every day. From small towns with big dreams. Some girls crack under the pressure. You? You're going to be great. What's it feel like? I walk into a room. It's like in the middle of winter. You're the sun. It's everything.
The Neon Demon. My man from Drive is back. Now, granted, he did Only God Forgives, but we'll forgive him for that one. We're talking about Nicholas Winding Refn, something like that. I don't know how to pronounce that goddamn last name. Not important. He's back with his new movie here, which, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little skeptical to see when it said that horror thing on it. But I was like, you know what? This looks visually intriguing when I got the preview of it. And when they said that they have a screener for us to watch it, I was like, you know what, I'll go check it, fuck it, whatever. And plot synopsis we got here is we got an aspiring model, Ellie Fanning, who's 16 years old in the film. She plays Jessie, and she travels to L.A. from buttfuck Nowhereville. And she obviously wants to be a model and stuff like that. And the world, of this world at least, is captivated by her beauty. She's the most beautiful and elegant thing that's ever walked into the world of L.A. And everybody else hates her. People want to be her. She turns heads left and right. I mean, that's really much the plot synopsis, to be honest. I mean, just a girl travels to L.A. Her youth is turned into this beauty obsession that women will take. Women with other women that want what she has, men that want to be with her and stuff like that. I mean, that's pretty much the plot synopsis. Let's go ahead and get into the movie now. I do not know how I feel about this movie at all, to be honest. You know, I was thinking of some words to come up with on what to say, what to do, what to be like, what to feel. And the best thing I came up with is this movie is kind of weird as shit. Let me scratch that. This movie is not kind of weird as shit. This movie is weird as shit. Now, this movie's about 2 hours long. The first maybe 40 minutes or something like that, I didn't think it was weird. I just thought it was fucking boring. It had a lot of beautiful visual stuff going on, and I gotta tell you, man, the music in here is fucking phenomenal. I think the score, the guy that did the score was the same guy that, did the score for Drive as well, and I'm not talking about, like, you know, the soundtrack itself, but it was actually beautiful in here, and I don't remember his name. I think it was Cliff Martinez or something like that, but he did an amazing job with the score in here. I thought the music, where, you know, something like It Follows, I don't think the music fit the scenes or anything like that. The music in here, Cliff Martinez, that's right, it is his name. I thought the music in here actually did fit the scenes very well. The acting in here, I thought was pretty damn good, I gotta say. You had Carl Guzman as Dean, Jenna Malone as Ruby, Bella Heathcote, Gigi, Abby Lee, Sarah, and those two were actual models, I believe, and it was actually interesting to see their performances here. I thought they did a fine job for what they were trying to do and stuff. But I gotta say, that first 40 minutes was just boring, it was uninteresting, and honestly, I was trying to gravitate towards what is the message behind this and what are we trying to do. And for the most part, I think I got part of that message. You know, it was pretty much how this young, naive, I don't know if I want to say naive, maybe a little bit naive, but this young, naive, beautiful girl who's only 16, who's claiming to be 19 because that's what her agency told her to do, is that why everyone's falling in love with her? Is because of that age she's at. But no one knows her real age, so you know that age is so—it's so pure. It's damn near an angel. Everything on her face is all natural and stuff like that. And I think the movie really picked up, really fucking picked up after that first 40 minutes. And we get to a scene where she meets up with one of the, you know, the biggest showrunner models of all in L.A. and stuff like. Forgot his fucking name and really don't give a shit, to be honest. And he sees her, does her walk. And she's like, oh my God. He pretty much had an orgasm. He's like, wow. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. I have to have you. And he's just sitting there going like, are you jacking off to this girl? What are you doing right now? It's kind of weird. Actually, you know, even in that scene, it was kind of woke me up too. Even before, in that scene right there too, because there's another girl in here. I don't know who she's played by. She got these weird looking eyes and shit like that though. But she's sexy as hell for an anorexic twig. And she's mad she didn't get the part. And she knew that this other girl was gonna get the part. She knew that Ellie Fanning was gonna get the part. And she goes to the bathroom. She throws something in the mirror and breaks the glass all over the floor. And then Ellie Fanning comes in there and she talks to her. She's like, you know, I thought you were beautiful, and everything about you was amazing. And then the other girl's just like, don't do that. So everybody talks like everything is dramatic and stuff like that. It's really a fucking fantasy in a way. And I try to get, like, is he trying to make a comedy here? Like, because he has Nicholas Winding, he's got a weird fucking sense of humor, I must say. He's into some weird ass shit after watching this movie. And the girl is calling to her because she says this line. She's like, what's it like to be, you know, in the middle of winter to walk in the room and you're the sun? And I love Ellie Fanning delivered. She was like, it's everything. It's everything. I love her cockiness of it, whatever. You really felt it through her tone, whatever. It's like, it's everything. It's everything your ass will never have because you don't look like me, you simpleton bitch. But and then she scratches her hand and she gets this nasty ass cut or whatever with the glass that cut her. And the girl, she rushes over and she grabs it and she's like, let me help you. And she starts sucking on the fucking hand or whatever with the blood. And I remember my eyes got big. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, okay, this movie's about some goddamn vampires now. I see what we're going on. And it's just like, no. And then I love it because Ellie Fanning screams and gets her off, whatever. The girl's just like, let me taste it more. And I was like, what the fuck is going on in this goddamn movie now? And, you know, you've probably heard this joke said plenty of times in Hollywood about, like, wow, how's that person stay so young? Oh, he's sucking the youth out of fucking kids. Yeah, I don't think we're going to be making that joke anymore after this movie. Yeah. I don't think we're going to be making this, because what that chick did to Ella Fanning's character in here, she was sucking the blood out of this girl's hand as almost as if the blood was going to give her that natural beauty that Ellie Fanning's character had. And I was like, that's some weird ass shit right there. And if this is what starving, hungry girl models are fiending out to be, then you need to pick a new profession. I do like, though, that Elle Fanning did set up. She said, you know, I don't have any talents. I don't have any money. I can't draw. I can't dance. I can't sing. I can't do anything. So she's like, but I know that I'm beautiful. And I know I can make a lot of money off being beautiful. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to stay beautiful. I was like, damn. I was like, you get two snaps for that girl. You know your fucking place or whatever. I love a woman that says, I know I don't have any talent, but I am just beautiful. I was like, damn. That's a bad chick right there. Don't fuck with her. Now, the movie really gets interesting. So I thought it was interesting there. It kind of caught me off guard, too, with her sucking the slitherness out of that girl's hand and stuff. But the movie really gets interesting when, you know, you got these two girls. You got Bella Heathcote and Abby Lee. Ruby introduced him, Jenna Malone's character. She introduced him because Jenna Malone's a makeup artist here. She kind of befriends Jesse in a way. You know, she's just like, hey, you want to go to a party and stuff like that? And I already knew something was weird with Jenna Malone's character because the way she just kept staring at her the first time they meet, she's like, am I staring too hard? Hey, do you want to go to a party? And she's like, what kind of party? She's like, a fun party. And then they straight up, like, when she gets there, she introduced these two girls right here. They straight up, like, staring hard at her. There's one of them, she just can't touch. She's like, who are you fucking? Who are you fucking, huh? You just don't move out here, and you just don't get to work with the man himself. You're fucking someone. I don't give a damn who it is. I'm gonna find out, bitch. You're fucking someone. That's damn near how it went down, in my eyes, at least. Well, technically, it did go there. She did say, are you fucking someone? And Jim Malone's character, like, let me put lipstick on you. Let me see what you are. Are you a dessert lipstick? Or are you sex lipstick? Puts that dessert lipstick on her. She's like, And I was like, yep, there's some lesbian vibes going on here now. As Jenna Malone's easily gonna fuck this, probably. And she introduced us to two other girls who's in the film. And one of them, she's just, I think it's Gigi, yeah, who's played by Bella. She just has plastic surgery to the 10th degree. I'm talking like nose job, cheek job, elbow job, ear job, head job, vagina job. She tucked it in just a little bit more and gave her extra wing on that bitch. I think she had a boob job too, where she's like, you know, whatever you do with the boobs, I guess. I don't know. Shit. And oh yeah, jawline job. I was like, Jesus Christ, that girl is fucking weird looking now. And I love it too, because Jesse, she gets called into the room and they're like, Jesse, we want you to end the show. You're that beautiful. You're gonna end it. And she gets this beautiful black dress on, and then you can tell Gigi, she's just kinda looking in the background like, who the fuck is this bitch? Ugh. And then I love this scene right here. I didn't know what the fuck was going on, I'm not gonna lie. But it's like this triangle shaped dome, as if like Jesse saw what it was like to be beautiful now. The world sees her as beautiful, and I love it too. What I love about this, because after this scene, this movie gets really fucking interesting right here. Because the very next scene, her, the most famous agent, fashion designer of all time, he meets with Jesse and all of them, and they're having a little lunch and a little dinner and little drinks and stuff like that. And they talk about natural beauty. And then one of the girls say, oh, I need to get surgery on my eyes or something like that. And then the guy tells her, don't do that. You should never change anything about yourself. And then he pretty much disses Gigi. She's like, but if something's wrong, you should easily get it fixed. And he was just like, you can never tell when someone has all this fixed. You can tell that they're no longer beautiful. They're just hurting on the inside. And I was like, damn. And then, you know, Jesse, she's got this little man boy that she calls around here. I love it because she told him she was 16. This dude's been real cool. He's probably the most normal fucking character in the goddamn movie, to be honest. And he's there with her, and supposedly boyfriend, if you will. He's a photographer that kind of shoots her and stuff. He kind of just hangs out with her because he can't really fuck her. I mean, that'd be some pedophile shit right there. And he asked her, he's like, hey, what do you think about, I don't remember who the character was, but what do you think of this girl? What do you think of this girl? She stands up, and she's just staring. He's like, I don't know, she's fine. He's like, that's the word I'm looking for. You're just fine. But look at Jesse now. Look at Jesse. That natural beauty, straight hair, gorgeous cheekbones, eyes are just nourishing the moon itself. That you can tell is beautiful. You are fake beautiful. I was like, God damn. I was like, wow, you just made that girl feel like shit. I love it because Jesse's guy, she's like, I don't agree with that. And he's like, you're going to tell me that crap of beauty's on the inside? I don't want to hear that. You always notice someone because of their outside beauty. You think you would have been talking to Jesse had you not known her outside beauty? My case, exactly. And he's like, let's get out of here. I don't like these guys. And she's like, well, then just go. And I was like, oh, Jesse got that chip on her shoulder now. I kind of liked it a little bit. I ain't going to lie, because I was like, she knows she bad now. So she's like, I don't really give a fuck about none of these dudes or anything. He's waiting for her back at the apartment or her motel or whatever. So she's like, what, do you want to be like those girls or something like that? And she, I love this line too, right? She's like, I don't want to be them. You didn't see? They want to be me. They want me. The world wants me. And I was like, I don't know what it was about that, but that shit was hot to me. I was like, ain't nothing better than a woman that knows that the world wants her. The world wants her. Okay, the world. I was like, damn. Because if you got it, then you got it. Not to mention she's got Keanu Reeves as a sleazy motel manager or something like that. I mean, his story arc was weird. I thought he did a fine job what he did, especially raising his voice up to, because he was kind of fucking frightening sometimes. But then I remember him telling the dude, he was like, hey, there's a 13-year-old girl back in Motel 214, whatever, if you really want to go that young, you know? She's a runaway. And there's a scene, too, like right after this scene where I'm assuming it was Keanu Reeves' character, where he tries to break into Ellie Fanning's room, but she locks the door. And then he goes to the next room, you just hear this girl screaming as if she's getting raped. And I don't know what the fuck was that supposed to mean or what that was about, but it was just kind of weird as shit. But I do like the visual that they had going on where, you know, Elle Fanning wanted to listen and she puts her hands on the walls and it just, the camera zooms out and it's just a black screen. Looked visually stunning, I must say. It's probably one of the best cinematographer films I've seen this year. And the music, I think, was just fucking incredible, I must say. It really fits the tone of it. But then after that, man, shit really gets crazy with Jim Malone's character. And this is why I love this thing that I do, where I can spoil in my reviews, because, woo, a lot of people ain't talking about this, but Jim Malone, like I said, she got some lesbian vibes going on. And, you know, she goes to Jim Malone's place where she's house-sitting, if you will. And Jim Malone, she's like, let me brush your hair. That always calms the nerves when you're brushing a long girl's hair. And she says, man, your skin is just so beautiful. He starts rubbing up on her. Look at it. Do you see that? It's called goosebumps right now. That's what I was getting. She was like, your skin is just naturally beautiful. You smell good. Here, let me ease the tension for you. She puts that hand in that crotch area. Gets the fan, and she just jumps on top of her and starts filling up her. And I was like, yep, this is about to go down. This is some lesbian pedophile shit right here. Not gonna lie. It's kind of hot still. I think Jim Malone was fucking hot in the scene, and so was Elle Fanning. I was like, mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm looking at the other critics on the screen. I'm like, anybody else in here getting turned on? Because I am right now. This is pretty hot right here. It's a really good scene. And Elle Fanning put it, I said, no! You will not take my virginity. I've never been with anyone like this. I will stay pure and youthful. And then Jim Malone becomes a second fucking character. She becomes this sadistic bitch, pretty much. Where she just walks away, hair's all down, she walks away. She takes that lipstick she used on Elle Fanning earlier in the movie. She writes on the wall with crosses and X's or whatever. And then the next scene, because Jim Malone, she does makeup for Miles and stuff like that, but she also does the makeup and stuff like that to recreate the face of dead people. She's doing the makeup on one of these girls, and I'm not gonna lie, the girl was hot who she was doing makeup on that was dead and stuff like that. I was like, I could see where the, yep, I don't know how you died, but damn, if you was alive still, I'd be making a move up on that. And Jenna Malone walks to the door, she closes that shit, and this was probably the dirtiest sex scene I have ever fucking seen. Now, granted, I know the body is dead already, so you just like automatically, some necrophilia shit, automatically, you're already like, this shit is dirty. But had that chick been alive, that shit still would have been dirty. Because as soon as she takes that robe off and starts groping those titties and stuff, all she saw in her head was Jesse. And Jesse's like on the couch, she's like rubbing herself, she's like, oh, yes. Oh, and then I was like, yeah, I ain't gonna lie, I'm gonna get turned on. I was like, yeah, I see she's highly obsessed with Jesse now, whatever. I was like, and if that's what's going on in her head, then, because that scene where she was imagining Jesse, like, getting sexy for her and stuff like that, if that's what was going on in her head, I completely see where the fuck she was coming from. Not so much to fuck that dead body, because that dead body wasn't that damn hot now. It's hot, but ain't hot enough to put my fingers up in there and go ahead and grope in that bitch, you know. Oh, and then the orgasm on the damn body, too. Not gonna lie, still kind of hot a little bit, but whatever. Anyway, when she was groping that titty, she starts to kiss the lips on this thing. She opens the mouth up, and then she spits in that dead person's mouth. I was just like, this shit is some dirty ass sex. She went... She spits in that, she starts slurping it, and you see the drool coming from when they kissing each other. It's like, oh god. This just seemed to look on my face. I was like, eyes was bulging out of my fucking head, dude. I was just like, Jesus Christ. And then she starts fingering the dead body, and then she hops on top of the dead body, and she starts rubbing herself and the body, and she's kissing her, and you see the drool coming from the lip to lip, and she's rubbing that damn cooch, and she's rubbing that vag, and she's oh god, and she fucking orgasmed. I was like, rest of the movie. That's when I said, I was like, what in the blue fuck am I watching? When they gave us our little cards to say what we thought about them, that's what I wrote in the card. I didn't even say, checked off what I think of the acting and stuff. I just said, what in the blue fuck did I just watch? And the movie gets even more interesting after that, because there's a scene where Elle Fanning, she gets all dolled up and stuff because, like I said, she knows she's the shit. And she goes looking for Jenna Malone's character. And, you know, they have a little conversation. And then Jesse walks back in the house. And those two girls that just couldn't stand her, that was pretty much, Jesse was taking all her work and stuff like that, they pull out with knives and shit. They're chasing her ass saying, you gotta die. We gotta have what you have. They push her ass into this empty ass pool. Blood is dripping everywhere, broken legs and stuff like that. I'm like, well, that's the end of the movie. The movie goes on for another 10 fucking minutes. And you're like, what in the hell else are you going to talk about? You just killed the main character in her story arc here. I'm thinking they buried her ass. Because you see Jenna Malone laying in a grave that she dug, reading a fucking book. As if they on a goddamn picnic or something like that. The shit was weird. It was fascinating to me. And I was just sitting there just more intrigued and intrigued. And I find myself somewhat liking the movie now, and I was going, wow, this has turned to a whole different thing now. This second act, this second third act really just picked up and just came out of left field to me. I was just sitting there going like, I want to know what happens next. I do. Show me what happens next. And then the two girls, they're doing a modeling shoot. I'm like, what the hell is going on now? Hold on. This movie should be ending. What's going on? And on Gigi, she starts to get nauseous. She's sick. She's like, I gotta stop this photo shoot. And she's screaming, and she's having visual effects of the body. And before this scene, too, the other girl, Sarah, she's meeting with a younger model in there and stuff like that, because, you know, she wasn't in the model shoot until she got chosen to be in it. And she's like, have you ever met a girl that was just more beautiful than you and more talented than you and everything? And she was like, yeah. And the girl asked her, what did you do to her? She straight up said, I ate her. And even I was just like, wait, you did what? Hold the fuck up. So then this next scene, when they're doing the model shoot, and then Gigi, she's like, oh, she sees the pool, and she's having flashbacks, she starts like throwing up. I was like, oh, God. Oh, so they only buried like pieces of the fucking body and whatever, and the rest they ate. Oh, shit. I was like, oh. And then she goes to the bathroom. Gigi, and she starts throwing up. She threw up the eyeball. And I was like, oh, fuck me, dude. I was like, she ate that girl. She ate her fucking eyes and shit like that, because she had beautiful eyes. Had to have it. And I remember Sarah walked right in. And Sarah walked in on her, and Sarah just had a nonchalant look at her, just like, I feel the power of my new powers of beauty and stuff like that. And Gigi was like, I gotta get her out of me. She's destroying me on the inside. I gotta get her out of me. And she takes some scissors and cut herself all up and stuff. And then you see all this shit just fly out of her. And then Sarah just gets on the ground. She picks up the eyeball. She eats it. Swallows it whole. Makeover. And then she just walks right back out. And the movie, and I was just sitting there going like, wow. This is some fucked up shit, right? And, you know, what was great about it was the ending credits. They had just, like, silhouettes of models and stuff like that. Like, and just, like, gold paint stuff. It looked really damn good. And they had this great music in the playing in the background. And I'm just sitting there just going, like, whoa. That was a hell of a goddamn movie right there. I gotta say, this movie is weird. I don't recommend it for everyone. It's slow as hell. That first 40 minutes probably might piss some people off to the point where they're just like, I don't get it, I'm walking out. Even the last third act, I think it'll get so weird for you to just be like, look, I don't even know what the fuck this is about anymore. For me, though, I gotta say, that third act really picked up with all this. Excuse me. It picked up, like, tremendously. The payoff was worth the wait, for me, at least. It's not for everyone, like I said. I don't think it's better than Drive. Hell no, it ain't better than Drive. But it is better than Only God Forgives. That movie's a piece of shit. But there are scenes in here, the negatives I can tell, there are scenes in here where I can tell he's kind of being, and you know how our house films can be, whatever. They get a little tad bit pretentious and stuff where, you know, it does become somewhat style over substance in some matter, especially in that first 40 minutes, where there's really isn't any matter at all to be given, but there's a lot of style. But I think that by the third act too, it does kind of creep itself into, I wouldn't even say horror, but it does kind of creep itself into more of a, I guess more of a metaphor of what the message was trying to say of how far people will go to have that natural beauty and stuff like that. You know, I was hearing people saying in my screen, like, oh, it's a parody. It's got some dark, funny elements into it and stuff like that. And I was like, I didn't find a goddamn thing funny about this at all. I was bored. I was shocked. I was intrigued and stuff. I had a lot of emotions going on in this movie, and it made me think a lot. But if he thought this was somewhat dry humor or funny, that guy has a weird fucking sense of humor then. And, but, man, I would be lying, dude. I saw this on Monday, and I'm doing the review now, which is Wednesday, and I've been thinking about this for the past 2 days, and I'm still thinking about it. I think it's probably the most polarizing movie I think I've seen this year, just because it has me so captivated with what went on in this film here. And I think, personally, it's just, that might raise my rating up just a little bit here, probably like half a point or something like that, just because simple fact that, wow, this movie really did that. You know, it did a lot of things where I was just like, you went there, huh? And you went all the way in there. And I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting any of this and stuff like that. And with all the movies that's coming out this week, there's like a few of them. And even this rest of this year, and you know, Civil War and all that stuff, they were great. They left an impression on me. Saw those movies. Saw Deadpool 3 times. Saw Civil War 3 times. Saw a lot of these movies 3 times and stuff like that. Well, mainly those two were the only ones I saw 3 times. Or in Zootopia. And Jungle Book twice. The big blockbusters, they had me impressed and stuff like that. I was impressed. But this one, I gotta say, man, this one probably out of all of those even just lingered in my head just for the weird shit that it pulled off. It really had me wanting to discuss this film with someone. I was like, I just gotta talk to someone about this film because the shit I saw in here was just either it was incredible or it was batshit crazy or it just had me wondering and thinking and what. And I like how it does leave kind of an open door of what you can, you know, pawn out of it and stuff like that. But, you know, did some Inception, Christopher Nolan shit when she walks through that little triangle spear where she becomes the shit. So I think that's going to bump my rating up here. I do like his visionary style, if you will, and there is some times, like I said, it does become style of substance, but then there are some times later in the film where I think the style kind of helps tell the story in a way. Whatever little story that there is, at least. Man, I was going to stream it. I've changed my rating about 3 times now. I was going to stream it, high stream it, but I think just for the simple fact that this movie has stayed in my mindset for this long now, and I'm still thinking about it, I want to talk with it with my Swollen Hosts and stuff like that. I want to chat with people that have. I don't want to go tell people to go see it because I don't want them coming back. What the fuck did you make me watch or whatever? But like, if you're like a hardcore film buff or something like that, I definitely want to tell you to go see it just so I can see what your reaction will be. Because I don't think everyone's reaction is going to be the same. I think that's kind of the most polarizing thing of the film. So I'm going to go, and I might regret this later. Probably when I'm not going to lie, I want to watch it again. As boring as that first 40 fucking minutes again, I want to watch it again. I want to see what I missed or what could have added to it or something like that. I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm giving it a low rating. Wow. A low rating. Wow, yeah. I'm going to stick with that. Yeah, low rating. Nicholas Winding Refn, you are into some weird shit, my friend. But I kind of dug it.
You know what my mother used to call me? Dangerous. You're a dangerous girl. She was right.